everybody, and welcome back to Rise of the Podcast. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Kara.
I'm Brownie.
And my goodness, what episode is this?
I forgot to say and. That's why that was so awkward. I was like, why did that sound so awkward? Because I didn't say and I'm Brownie.
That's
but,
right. Now we know.
Yep. And it's like the edge of a blizzard right now.
Yep.
Yeah, that's why we had to come down earlier, a little bit earlier than normal to shoot this. But that's okay. We make it work. We make it work.
We got this.
Is this 29 or 30?
I think this is 30.
That's a good question. I know exactly what it is. We'll let you guys decide.
I think it's
29. 30. You couldn't have synced that perfectly better.
It's 30.
Boom!
Oh, man.
That's how I roll.
Episodes.
Oh, I've got cords coming off all over the place.
Anyways, okay, Thanksgiving just happened. Literally Thanksgiving. And so we were picking up some family friends to bring them over to have them over for Thanksgiving dinner. Mm-hmm. And we were sitting there talking about all these different stories that we've had. And I went by a popular river in the Cloquet area, the St. Louis River. And yep. I thought, man, we almost died when we did that. And then I was like, oh. And then when Kara and I got a motorcycle, we went for a motorcycle ride. I'm like, we almost died doing that. And I was like, man, whenever Kara and I try something for the first time, we almost die.
And then we're fine after that. It's like that first initial go, we're like, we almost died.
What was your first date like?
Well, our first kiss, she ran away, but she did. I gave her a peck on the cheek and she was like, boom.
It wasn't on the cheek.
It was on the lips.
It was on the lips. Please. Ooh, nobody considers first kiss a kiss on the cheek.
Well, I forgot.
So apparently he's saying you're not very memorable.
Seriously.
What a forgettable person you are, Kara.
Right. Not a memorable first kiss,
after
apparently.
That reaction, I almost died. So I was lack of oxygen in my brain made it fuzzy.
Oh,
Jeremy. On a fry?
Oh, I almost died on a podcast. One of the first podcasts.
That was like episode 8.
But this is still, we're new. So I've almost died. So that's what we're going to talk about. We're just going
to
talk about near death.
We're near death because of a blizzard, so we might as well tell you about other near death experiences.
Yes, I am thankful as my Thanksgiving thing to be alive. So I really appreciate it. So should we start with the kayaking story?
Yeah, you guys. I think that's kind of. Tell all this. I don't have any near death experiences.
You don't have any near
death? Not any.
Didn't you end up in the middle of you knocked on the gas station? You told this story, but you knocked on a gas station door that was a drug front in North Dakota or South Dakota.
I think you should retell that story.
Well, I already told it once on the podcast.
But I mean, we have new subs.
But all right,
I'll just link to the podcast if that's in.
Perfect. Fine. So Chris did have a near death experience. He did.
I don't count that.
I was gonna say, if you want to listen to that podcast, it's right up there.
I guess my qualifications, if we're gonna get into what's a near death experience and what's not. Did I actually feel at the moment that I was on the edge of death? No.
No.
Like, in retrospect, did I not realize how close I was to getting a shotgun in the face? No.
in hindsight,
retrospectively, that was a really messed up situation to be in. But in the moment, I was just like, what a weird place North Dakota is.
So, all right, we'll lead. You can judge, and I want the listeners, you guys can comment down below, and I want you to pick... Which story would you think was actually the most near-death experience?
Yeah, who came closest to death?
And let us know what your own near-death experiences are.
Yeah. If you have something crazy, type it in there. I'd love to hear it. Okay, so kayaking. My dad's boss found out we had kayaks, and he's like, hey, you guys should go put in at the St. Louis River. It's just a really nice, maybe like class 2, class 3 rapids from here to the dam in Thompson. Mm-hmm. So we're like, okay, you know, this could be really fun. So we got our kayaks, which are not river kayaks.
They're meant for the lake. Yeah.
And so river kayaks are shorter and they're more maneuverable and they have a skirt and stuff to stop water from coming in when you go crazy through the rapids.
So Jeremy and I are in there in our 12-foot kayaks. The only form of safety gear we have are our life jackets. That's it. We don't have helmets. We don't have skirts. Nothing besides our life jackets. So, you're drinking my drink.
I didn't think she'd notice. But so anyways, so we put our kayaks in and we start going and all of a sudden the first part of the river... When rocks, it's actually dangerous when the rocks aren't sticking out of the water because you can't quite see them and you'll run through rapids and hit rocks and stuff like that. So you can see these little swirls. And so we start getting tossed immediately like back and forth and it's like, whoa, we're way in over our head here.
It's scary because like you'll be going, you don't see anything and all of a sudden to the side, you'll hear along the side of your kayak and you're like, oh, that's a rock.
Yep. And so we get through these rapids and I'm like talking to Kara. I'm like, you know, this is really dangerous. We got to be careful. So the next set of rapids... I was at the mercy of the river. Mm-hmm. We're going down. I'm getting tossed left and right. And I'm
nervous. 3-4 foot waves, just like our kayak.
The current took me. So I got rolled over and was upside down. And So Kara's like freaking out.
I freaked out. I couldn't see him. I could not see him for the life of me. Like,
did I hit my head? Did I do anything? Blah, blah, blah. So the problem is, because we didn't have skirts, you have to drag your kayak to land, drain all the water out of it, and then make it seaworthy again.
Mm-hmm.
So I pop up, and Kara's like, oh, I didn't know what happened to you. I was super nervous. We dragged the kayaks ashore.
You know, something I remembered, you had your phone in the wrong pocket of the kayak. Yeah,
we'll get to that.
Okay.
We'll get to that. So there's a front pocket and a back pocket to my kayak, and I put it in the front pocket.
Which is not waterproof. The back one is.
Which is not waterproof. And because we put in at Scanlan, I had made a plan with my dad to meet at a certain point to pick us up. But my phone got water damaged, and it was the only phone that we had.
I left mine in the car.
That'll come into play later, because we needed to have someone pick us up. So we go through a little bit more, and we go back into the water, and we keep going. And then we go through another, batch of rapids, and it's insane. So I actually make it through, and I go left and right, and then I go off this cliff. I go down like 3-4 feet in the, like an actual 3-4 foot drop off. I can't believe I made it through there. I go off to the side and I look back and Kara's holding onto a rock for dear life. So I was like, this is my chance. So I'm like, go upstream and I get my kayak stuck in some rocks and I get it out of the water and I run up there and I like grab Kara.
Deep of water.
No, but it's still scary. And she was holding on for dear life. And she was going to get sucked towards the rapids.
Basically, if I had let go, though, my kayak would have turned sideways and I would have, completely just right on in. So, that was...
Oh, and I lost my shoe the first time. So, I was down one shoe. So, when I was crawling through the river to get to her, I was limping on my foot. It was bad. So, we get Kara. We help. We just portage around the side of that one. And we go through one more batch of rapids, which I crash again and get tossed out of my kayak. And then... I'm dragging it through slushy swamp with no shoe on, and I'm about 15, I'm sinking in the mud.
I'm just thinking of, how many diseases your foot has now.
It's halfway up my calf, right? And as I'm like 10, 15
feet. No wonder one of your calves is all withered and sad,
right?
And the other one is real happy.
Well, so guess what Kara does to me? I'm like 10 feet or 15 feet away from the shore, and she goes, boy, I really hope there's not any leeches in here. And I was like, oh, no.
Well, here's the thing, too. The mucky part was, still water. It was, a little inlet, so it wasn't moving. So that's where leeches like to,
Yeah, and mosquito and everything. Everything that's the worst.
Yeah.
All the stuff that you don't want to see in science class.
And so I drag it all the way up onto the shore. Flip it upright, drain all the water out. I get back in and I was like, Kara, I'm really mad that I crashed that time, because I was like, all I did was this, and I shake the kayak a little bit and I fell right over. In the act of doing that, I rolled it again and it ended up in the water. So I had to go back through Murkville to flip it over. And so we're going and we come across one major set of rapids, and the water split from the left and then to the right. And I remember thinking, don't go to the right, because it's, I remember seeing the map. So we both stop and portage. We go around, completely park. That means you carry your kayaks around. We walked for a while with them, carried them.
Well, the reason we did that was, so the set of rapids we went to, it was a waterfall, more or less. And the water was hitting two walls of rock at different angles or something. And so the water was curling in on itself like this. So it was this huge, massive, just death trap. So that's why we decided to portage there. And then up ahead...
where the water splits, to the right is a 10-foot waterfall. So if we would have went to the right and not been paying attention, we would have went right off a 10-foot waterfall, and I probably would have died. I wouldn't have been able to come back up. Because we're not prepared for it. I would have went in, no helmets, I would have hit my head, unconscious Jeremy floating down the river.
Drowned.
Drowned.
Proud of having
1,000 ways
too.
To die.
Poor Oliver.
He wouldn't have had a dad.
He didn't exist yet, did he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he probably did.
2014?
Yeah, he would have been a puppy. We left him at home and then said, let's go die. Anyway, it was just crazy.
How many times have we been kayaking since this?
We've gone quite a few times.
Yeah,
typically
quite a few
what
times.
We do, though, is...
The Brule,
or we'll go just to the reservoir in Jay Cook.
And it's just a lakeside where it's calm, and or we go to a lake in Brainerd. So we go other places, but I don't do rapids anymore. At all.
Okay.
So you didn't know that there's a difference between the type of kayak that you had and the type of kayak that was necessary for doing
We were told
class
fine.
Class 2 or 3 kayak, 3 rapids. 2 or 3 are easy. It's the Brule. You can take basically any kayak down the Brule.
Yep.
when we got home, we actually looked up the section of river we went through, and it was like class 5, and because of the waterfall, 6 rapids, which is like...
It says, do not even attempt if you're an amateur. And so it's like, yeah, you got to have that whole, like, X amount of hours.
And proper equipment. And you attempted it real hard.
We were told 2 or 3, and we're like, oh, it's going to be easy, whatever, it's fine. Well, and then, like, if you have a skirt, you want to practice in a lake rolling. So, like, if Jeremy had, let's say we had a skirt and didn't practice, and Jeremy had gone under, chances of him being able to actually roll himself back up would have been very slim.
Then I would have been stuck in there with a skirt. You're kind of, like, more in there.
So you would have just drowned.
Yes, yep. Upside down.
Yep.
If I couldn't have
read. Why do people do this? Why do people go? This is now why people
kayak? Well, that's why I said now Kara and I can never go skydiving together, because if it's the first time, I don't want to have a mistake with a parachute. Because if I have one then, it's like, well.
Anvil again.
Oh, yeah.
Dang exactly. It. Wile E. Coyote.
So we got a motorcycle, and one of the very first drives, we're like, oh, we're going to go up and visit the beautiful Two Harbors, go up the shore, check out the lake, and do everything, right? Mm-hmm. And so we go there, we meet up with some family members, we say hi, we chit-chat, and then we see some people, and they're like, oh, you guys took your motorcycle out today? Like, yeah. I'm like, there's a huge storm coming. Like, a huge storm, and this is in the middle of summer. So I'm like, okay, family, we're going to leave now, goodbye. Well, from Two Harbors to Duluth on the expressway, there's no gas stations.
No, there's nothing.
There's nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
There's no cover. Absolutely nothing.
It's just a straight road for 15 miles.
Mm-hmm. We no more than get 1 mile out of town, and a massive hailstorm rolls through.
Well,
you could have stopped at Castle Danger. That might be close. That's less than a mile in, though, so you would already pass it.
Yeah, we would already have passed it.
Poor Jeremy. We didn't even have 100 miles on the motorcycle at this point. Jeremy starts freaking out.
So I pull over. I didn't know what to do. I pull over. There's no underpass to get underneath. There was no goal to look forward to, but sit there and literally get pelted by marble-sized hail.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was
man.
Unbelievable.
I had my leather jacket and helmet. He had his, like...
Yeah, if I wouldn't have had a helmet on, like, for people who don't wear helmets, I don't know how... Like, that is crazy. If I wouldn't have had a helmet on, I could maybe have just been dead from getting hit in the brain so many times, because I couldn't see, even with the helmet on, because of how much hail there was. So I'm leaning over the motorcycle and we're stuck there, and I was like...
Are you, like, trying to protect it from
yes,
the hail?
Yes.
So I'm sitting there, like, taking all the beating from the hail, and Jeremy's like, my motorcycle! And he's, like, hovering over it.
Well, see, you should have laid down on the ground, then put the motorcycle on top of you to protect you, and then Jeremy on top of the motorcycle.
She would have probably been fine.
I'd have been crunched.
So yeah. I'm like, we gotta go somewhere. Like, we gotta try this. So we start driving. And I've been driving for motorcycles since I was 16 years old. So I've been driving them forever, and I've never experienced anything like this. It was like driving on marbles. And you got two wheels with marbles. So I was going,
you were going very slow.
7 to 10 miles an hour with my feet down, and it was like it's like the AT-AT when it hits the logs and it's jello. That's what the bike was doing. We're just sliding over on top of these marbles.
Mm-hmm.
So we drove all the way back from Two Harbors to Duluth in a hailstorm.
Well, that had to take like 2 hours to drive back.
It took about an hour, I would say. Well, maybe even at 7 miles an hour. It maybe even took an hour and a half. It took a long time.
By the time we got back, my leather jacket was soaked. I had knee-high leather boots on. They were absolutely soaked to the point like I would walk. It was like... As I was walking
That's why
along.
You don't be fashionable when you're on a motorcycle.
I don't want road burn. I'm going to wear knee-high leather boots.
Yeah, but you just have to treat them as though they're a piece of safety equipment and not fashion. So don't be sad that it gets ruined by the water.
Oh, yeah, that's
fine.
True.
I still wear them, actually.
Oh, okay.
They're good to go.
So we pull over, and when the rain finally... Like, so we got to the...
Sinclair?
Not even the Sinclair. We went to the Super One in Lakeside.
Oh, because I was thinking the first place you could stop at all, but that's before you could get into Duluth was the Sinclair.
Yes, we could have went there, but there wasn't water because there's no, like, inside.
I guess that's so true. I was like, thinking the canopy would be enough, but...
Yeah, it
would
have been better, but... I mean, so when we got to the Super One, though, there was no more hail anymore.
The sun had come out,
and we made it through, but it was sketchy. It feels like you're going to be stuck in it for eternity when it's hailing and you're in a motor... Like, we had no cover, nothing. And motorists were driving by us. No one pulled over and said, like, oh, hop in till the hail's done. Nothing. Nothing. We were on our own.
Well, there were some cars that even pulled over because of how bad
it was. Yeah, how bad it was. They pulled over to stop, not to say, hey, come on in, chap.
And I just sat there looking in their car like, oh, I
wish. She just leaves me. Come on in. So
some
that
guy
was
lets
time.
You put your bike in the truck.
Right.
You have to ride in the back.
And hold it upright. And then I get pulled over. So that was just a crazy thing. And it was like, maybe in hindsight, were we in a lot of danger? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But it felt horrible. It was like a near-death experience for sure.
It hurt.
Yeah, it hurt. Kara was getting, and then because she was in the back, she was getting like most of the pelting.
Yeah, Jeremy, totally fine, because I'm hunched over. I'm sitting on the back, so I'm hunched over. Oh, yeah, sorry. I'm hunched over him, basically.
Yep.
And so he's fine. He's like getting nothing. Me, I'm getting pelted on my back so hard.
It's crazy. So that was one. Okay, so
that's how marriage be sometimes.
Yep. Right?
The wife takes the beating for the husband.
Yeah. Till hail do us part.
To have it to hail.
To have it to hail. So that was one of the times together. But I have plenty of times I almost killed myself by myself. So another time is here in Minnesota, we really rely on heat. It's so important to keep everything from freezing up, especially pipes, right?
I have a side story. So
do you have a side story?
Just this is very, very short. It's like three sentences.
Got it.
I was recording the hockey game today, and I was wearing this. I'm wearing a polo shirt and slacks.
Yep.
And I had somebody come up to me, and they're like, "Are you insane?" And I was like, "What?" And she's like, "You're in a hockey arena in a t-shirt." it's warmer in the hockey arena than it is outside.
Obviously, yeah.
And there's a giant heater right there. Like it felt like it was 70 degrees to me where I was.
Right.
You know, everyone's running around wearing, like longer sleeve stuff or whatever. And I had people like genuinely concerned for me because I didn't have a coat or a long sleeve shirt. This is like the best, like the... If I could set my house to whatever hockey arena temperature is,
that'd be perfect.
But I had people thinking that I was like going to die of hypothermia.
You got people bringing you jackets and blankets and hot hands. Like, no thanks, I'm fine.
Sorry, one more side story. This is me not almost dying, but almost killing somebody.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
So there's this like some high school girl or whatever with a camera that thinks she's a photographer, and where we're set up is like a really sketchy box.
Okay.
And then there's this Ethernet cable from, like, 1997 that's, like, coiled around this thing and then, like, strung across and then plugged into your computer.
Yep.
And the clip in it isn't good enough to actually hold it in, so I have it wedged in with the ballast from
the power supply.
From the power supply. And she's just, like standing on here trying to, like, take pictures, and she's kicking her leg out to, like, get balance, and she almost kicked the cable out. I'm live streaming this game.
Right.
This Ethernet cable that is so gingerly held into this Ethernet port.
Or she puts her foot on top of the brick, and it slides out from underneath her
foot. Yeah, well, no, so the brick is up on the table, but then the Ethernet cable's going out like this, and she's, like, on the edge, and this thing's, like, shaky, and she, like, the whole time, I was, like, I had asked her to get down, and she's just like, "No, I'm a photographer, man."
Oh,
and she's taking pictures, and she just almost, and like, she almost like fell off and killed herself. Oh, okay. So
death by, See, you had more stories than you realized.
Well, so this box thing, there's a railing behind it. And so like, it's fine. Like it feels like you're going to fall off the back of it, but you just end up leaning against this railing. I can't tell you how many times I had that, like, like falling backwards feeling.
Until which is
like,
the worst.
Oh, yeah. So it's like, anyway, so all that hockey stuff. So like, I was like super angry / paranoid the whole time with this person that almost kicked the Ethernet cable out of the computer.
See, and then you know, Chris would have just went, "Not my cable."
Yep. So
not at fault.
Well, no. So the thing, she was on the other side of the cable, so there's two things. So she was perilously dangling off the edge of this box,
just to take photos of a high school game.
Take photos of a high school hockey game. But then also because she was almost losing her balance, on the other side was almost kicking the cable out of the computer.
Got it. So, I'm tracking.
Yeah. It's not the cable wasn't impeding her progress.
Right.
But if she would have overcorrected it to stabilize, she would have cut the live feed of the game that was going out to everybody.
And she's just some little high school girl.
Yeah. And I was like, "Could you please not be up here?"
Right.
Like, we have all this stuff, and she's like all over the place.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I'm glad she didn't get hurt. But
everyone survived.
Unlike her, where she had somebody looking out for her. I did not have somebody looking out for me when I did this. So I don't want to like get into the law. Anyways, so the building where we do the filming had an old boiler. And so when you have a pilot light.
I think I helped you take this out.
You did, actually.
After everything was, all their dangerous stuff was done.
Yes.
We moved this 4 million pound boiler. Yeah,
it was
out.
In slabs.
Four million pounds. Yeah,
it looks
pounds,
like
guys.
The audio foam, but there was like 12 channels of it, and the water runs through each individual one. And but they say it looks like it. It was about 5 feet by
yeah,
5 feet
huge.
Of solid cast iron. Whoa. So it's Dang. This huge boiler, right? And it had these huge boiler things underneath. So here's what happened. My dad calls me up and he goes, "Hey, just got a call. The building's out of heat." So he goes, "Here's what probably happened. The thermocouple, when it goes out, shuts the gas off to the pilot light." And so a thermocouple, it's a little temperature sensor, and a pilot light is a little flame that stays lit constantly. So when the boiler gets called for heat, it puts gas into the chamber, the pilot light lights the gas, and the boiler runs. If the pilot light goes out, it would just pump gas into the room and kill everybody. So what they do is they have this little temperature sensor, and if that gets cold, it thinks the flame went out, it cuts the gas off. Well, that thermocouple can go bad. It's a very common part that burns out on many furnaces here in Minnesota. So my dad calls me up. He's like, "It's a bad thermocouple. I have one. I don't expect you to put one in. It was like 30 below out." He goes, "If you just go down there and you bypass the thermocouple, you'll get the gas to turn back on. You can light the pilot light, call for heat, like just turn the thermostat up, let it run so the pipes don't freeze." That's all he cared about. Because the pipes freeze, it's like a $20,000, $30,000 damage thing.
It's a nightmare.
Big deal. So he's like, "Just do this, right?" So I go down there. I'm on the phone with him. I have an old Motorola Razor. I take the wires off the thermocouple sensor on the one side. And if you just touch them together, it's like the circuit's complete. It starts pumping gas in there. So I have a little like torch going in the boiler where the ignition happens. So I light it, or I bypass it, just hold the wires together. Gas comes on, doesn't light. I'm like, am I doing something right? So I let it go. He's like, "No, sometimes it takes a little bit." So I'm like, I look in there, nothing's happening. Turn it back on. Like, it's not lighting. And so he's like, "Well, check to make sure you have it here." So he's like, "You want to have it by where the ignition thing is." So I like find the thermocouple. I get the thing. Like, look, I'm like, "No, it looks like it should be lighting." Well, the problem is, in reality, I was too low. So the gas was coming out, and then there wasn't enough for it to ignite at this point.
It hadn't hit the proper mixture rate yet.
Yes, it hadn't hit, like, the proper things. But if I would have had it in the right spot, it would have lit as it came out. But because I didn't have it in the right spot, it was too low, the gas had to accumulate first. And that's what, herein lies the problem. So I hold the wires together again, you know, and I hold it for like a good 20, 30 seconds. And I'm on the phone with my dad, Razor in my shoulder like this. And I'm like, "It's still not lighting. I'm just going to," so I go to peek around the corner, and there's a square opening where the boiler was and everything was happening. And I'm kind of off to the side. And all of a sudden, kaboom, flames lick out. Like 3 feet out from the boiler and lick around the side. It blew the phone out of my shoulder pit and shot it across the room, hit the wall and shut. So all my dad hears is kaboom, click. So there's people in the building, the lady who called it in, and this is where we, like, this is the studio. The lady calls, comes running back there, and she's like, oh, you're alive. She's like, "I swear," the whole building shook, she said, because it was like, it was that big of an explosion. And so.
It was lucky that you were around the corner.
I was around the corner, because it went straight out. But here's what happened. Remember I told you I was kind of looking down? The flames came out, and just the heat, not the flames, the heat singed all the hair off one side of my face. I had no eyelashes, no eyebrow, and singed hair on one side. And the funny part is, my dad told me, in case of an emergency, wear a baseball hat so you at least have hair. And I didn't. But it's like, why would you tell me to do that in case of an emergency? Like, you knew this was a possibility. The other thing, too, is because I was just holding them together, that when it blew me back, I went flying, and I let go of it, and it just cut the gas off.
Yeah, otherwise the gas would keep. You didn't have it actually, like, wired together. Just like, ooh.
My gosh.
Oh, man. Okay, so that was like, you know, one time where, you know, that was literally almost. So my dad calls me up, and I was like, "No, I'm fine," but I had to live with singed eyebrows and hair, you know, and everything else. And
so it was on the right-hand side that it all got.
It was on this side.
It's too bad you didn't know me. I could have painted your eyebrows on for you.
Well, thanks, Kara.
You should probably do that anyway. It'd be an improvement.
These things are like, you know, caterpillars up here. I got to try.
Well, I keep when saying I get my that hair when cut, we have kids, I hope our daughters get his eyebrows so they have at least something to work with.
That's all they need from him, though.
I was going to say, these are drawn on, baby. These are drawn on.
Well, they're real.
Well, there's some real, but.
Mine are like invisible.
Yes.
We got blonde hair.
I can't help it.
So we're really, I mean, so this was just kind of some fun stories. I think I got one more I can tell really quickly is, so electrical work. So in Minnesota, you can do your own electrical work. So it's like, when I worked on this house project, I would do my own electrical. I've been doing my own electrical for years. So my friend was working on his house, and he goes, hey, can you help me hook up a couple new circuits? I said, no problem. So I go over to his house, and we're hooking up a new circuit. And you have your main service that comes into the house, and your wires come in and attach. And then there's these two silver bars, which all the breakers click onto. One side's 110, which is fine to touch, and the other side's 110, which is fine to touch. If you touch them both, you can get dangerously shocked and or killed. And the problem with electricity is if you get shocked and you get your muscles tighten, right? Because it's an electrical signal.
Yep.
So if you clamp on to something and you can't let go, that's how you die. Because your muscles contract and you get held on to.
The secret is to not have muscles.
Yeah, right. So you can't do it. That's why it's always like when you're working, you don't like pinch stuff. You just kind of like touch it or move it. You don't pinch anything because otherwise you'll get, you know, or just shut the power off, which is what everybody else does.
Jeremy likes to wire things hot.
Live dangerously.
Apparently.
Right?
He only does his electrical work when it's hailing on a motorcycle.
I need a picture of that.
If we had more subs, we'd have somebody do some fan art.
I'm sure they would. I'm sure it'll come around eventually. But anyways, to make a long story short, like the very first time I ever got shocked, I had the hot on the right and the neutral on the left, and wires get a memory. And so the hot was kind of like getting close to me while I was hooking up the neutral. And I was holding on to the neutral, and I was like, you bugger, because it kept springing back. So I'd let go, and I'd push it to the side. Then I'd work, and it would spring back. And so I was like, I'm sitting here working. I went, you bugger, and I grabbed it, and it went, and I'm like, oh, man, you know? Like, oh, I can't believe I did that, because I grabbed it and put it off to the side so I wouldn't touch both. And it ended up biting me in the butt. But this other one, so anyways, so we're working, and his wife is pregnant. They've got four kids at home. They're using all the power. Everything's lit in the entire house, and we're running the ground wires down, and so these two metal rods come down, and then there's a piece of plastic insulation, and in the very bottom is a ground bar, and you run your grounds to the ground bar. And so I ran the ground to the ground bar, I put one in, and we run another one down, and I go to run the next one in. I noticed the first one wasn't tight, so I go to, like, tighten it, but I, like, loosened it first to readjust it. The second I loosened it, the spring tension of the wire caused the ground wire to pop straight up, and it went right between the metal and the plastic insulation, touched the bar, made a baseball of electrical, like it was about to say, it was a pow of electrical, it tripped the main breaker. I've never tripped a main breaker in my entire life. Tripped the main breaker, which is at least 100 amps, and I think that's like 150 amp service. That means there's 150 amps of electricity going through there because it completed the main bus terminal. If the breaker wouldn't have tripped, that would have continued to arc and shock and arc and shock. And so, it made a big baseball worth of electricity. The power goes off in the house, and he looks at me, and I look at him, and she's like, is everything okay? He's like, yeah, we're just shutting it down to finish up and everything up. So I was like, oh. And he goes, looks at me, and he's like, I'm really glad you didn't get hurt, dude. And I was like, yeah, me too.
Well,
It just did it on its own. So
when he came home, he had black singe marks on his fingers.
Yeah, across my fingers from the proximity of the fireball.
Well, so, it would have been a plasma ball if it was like a
plasma ball, yep. Plasma.
Which is the fourth state of matter.
So speaking of plasma, you should be awesome like a fourth state and subscribe to our channel. No, Chris, take us out.
All right. Well, so yeah, we've got, because of the blizzard, we're running a little bit lighter today. So we're just going to be wrapping up early. Nice, easy little podcast. If you've made it this far into the video, though, I think this video deserves a like. It shows that you enjoyed what we're doing. You want to see more content like this. Subscribe if you're not already. Ring the notification bell. You want to be notified every time we upload a video. We really appreciate it. Comment down below any near-death experiences you might have had. Maybe you want to give Jeremy some electrical operating advice or how to drive a motorcycle upside down in the rain. Whatever it is you may want to, that's what the comment section is there for. And, of course,
may the force be with you.